unchanging is a really important truth to understand about God. A lot of people get jammed up in the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, and they think, that's not the same God. It's the same God. And so you have to believe the truth about God is that he's unchanging. Stand on that foundation and then go investigate how he is in fact the same between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Don't let someone tell you a lie that God changed over the kingdom calendar. He didn't. He didn't. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. Each week at this time, we're here to study God's Word with you and with each other. We're a group of women who love God's Word and God's people. This week, I'm here with my friends Amy and Karen, and we're looking at Romans 1, verses 18 to 25, where Paul talks about how we exchange the truth about God for a lie. Today, you'll hear just one part of the time we spent together on this scripture, so visit studywithfriends.org to hear the whole conversation. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a search box. Enter the word exchanged to find the page with all the broadcasts in this series and also the discussion guide we used to help us unpack it together. We're having a great time learning from God and learning from each other. I hope you'll find something today that's helpful to you. Let's get started. A truly godly woman is not a woman who has all the words like general revelation. A truly godly woman is someone who doesn't forget the truth about God, doesn't exchange the truth about God for a lie. And I was reflecting on the word exchange. I thought about, when you travel outside of the country and when we exchange our money. And if I went to the bank to exchange my money and they gave me, like, I don't know, Post-its, I wouldn't take that. I'd be like, that's a counterfeit. That's counterfeit. So this is what's happening in this passage. They exchange the truth about God, something valuable, like my money is valuable to me, for a counterfeit. Like taking a $1,000 bill and trading it for a Post-it. Exchanging something true for something that's counterfeit. And so I just want to encourage you and exhort you that a truly godly woman is not a woman who has good words or smart words. I good. Look up to you.
Good, because I don't.
I look up to you.
Not about the words.
Because in times of trial, yeah. I've looked at you and I've seen your faith. And you know what's funny? I say this to Greg. I'm like, I almost always can... remember the promises and keep my head above me, except when it comes to Amy. Then I get really ticked off. And I'm like, hey, God, how about giving her a break? And I cannot hold it together, but you hold it together.
No, I don't.
And yes, you do. You do.
No,
I know you don't hold it together in the ways that I know what you're saying. But what I'm saying is God has given you an extra measure of faith and you just... hold on to your faith. And I jokingly say to other people, like, Amy's just like, oh yeah, you just got to have faith. And I'm like, actually, Amy, it's not how it works for a lot of us. Like, we lose our faith. But you're just so matter of fact about it. You're like, yeah, well, you have to keep your faith. And I'm like, oh, he's okay, there. Just that sounds so simple.
Yeah. Well, I'm like you in that apparently I don't get it the first time, so I need to be hit over the head.
I just need to say that you to me are an icon of the faith. So well, I won't have you saying any negative things about yourself. Speaking of the truths about God, we wrote a few in the homework. Let's read through those because, you and I, we are all sitting here talking about the truths about God. What if someone doesn't know what those truths are? So let's run through a few of those and make sure that we don't leave that to speculation. Let's just take turns. Read, please, the verse and then make sure you read the address. I'll start with Jeremiah 31, verse 3. This is from the New Living Translation. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. What's the truth about God in that passage?
He loves us. Yeah. And he's drawing us to himself.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
Us.
Yeah, he loves us. And he, his love is never failing. Never failing. With an unfailing love, he says. Okay, would you read the next one, Amy?
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is John 3:16.
And what's the truth about God in that passage?
He loves us. Same as the first. He loves us.
But there's something additional in there.
Well, he loves us. And he sent Jesus Christ to us, for us.
To display his ultimate desire, which is that none should perish. Yeah. The reason that I think it's important to tell that truth about God is because I think some people believe God doesn't love me and it's okay with him that I would perish. I'm bad. So don't miss that he doesn't want anyone to perish. That's the truth. I think it's important. That's such a classic verse that we maybe don't pay attention to the truth in there, but the truth is he desires that all should have eternal life, and his greatest desire is to have relationship in eternity with all of us. And no matter who you are, what you've ever done, you're not exempted from that promise and that desire in his heart. So, okay, Karen, would you read the next one, please?
Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James 1:17.
Mm-hmm. And what's the truth in that verse?
Ooh, I love this. Who does not change?
Mm-hmm. He's unchanging. Mm. Unchanging. And this is a good one for people to remember when a lot of people get jammed up in the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, and they think, that's not the same God. It's the same God. And so you have to believe the truth about God is that he's unchanging. Stand on that foundation and then go investigate how he is in fact the same between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Don't let someone tell you a lie that God changed over the kingdom calendar. He didn't. He didn't. And so unchanging is a really, really important truth to understand about God. The next one is Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And I think the truth about that is that, he is all powerful. Nothing is impossible. And so what would the lie be? The lie would be, he can't see this. He can't do this. He can't fix this. That would be the lie. But the truth is, nothing is impossible with God. Okay, Amy, what...
Can I reflect on that?
Yes, please.
I think it's important that we really think about what is the most impossible situation. And the most impossible situation is taking a person who thinks they're unloved, like you were reflecting on, thinks they're undeserving, thinks that they would not be worth an eternity of a life with God. And what we're saying here is that, oh no, that's not impossible.
Well, let me poke into that a little bit. I thought where you were going, you didn't go to. So let me see if we can go there together. If you went into the world, I think maybe worldly people would agree the most impossible thing to do would be to raise somebody from the dead, to bring life where death was. And so if you believe that he did that, or is capable of doing that, it's actually much easier to believe that he's capable of changing a life that exists and is alive. If you can believe that he can raise someone from the dead, we forget that. We think, oh, yeah, in our head, we believe, yeah, I believe he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. But then we get to believing the lie that he can't or won't change a circumstance. What bigger circumstance could he flip on its head than death?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I do. Yeah. And I think I'm reacting to how this verse, though, has been misused and out of context for a very long time by most Christians. And, you know, they use this verse in the sense that, they want a particular surgery or they want something particularly to work out in their lives. And then they reflect on this verse because, of course, again, knowing who God is, we say, well, of course it's not impossible, right? But truly the context of what is being said here is about the salvation of the person, of who we are. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to miss that. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure for those who are listening who, you know, I just don't want you to miss the truth of this statement, mm-hmm. which is really that the most impossible thing is who we are and the fact that we could be made pure and holy like God through the death of Christ
and resurrection. Right.
Yes.
And but what you and I are saying is connected, because we were dead in our sins.
Right.
And so we live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. So what we're saying is actually totally the same thing.
Oh, for sure. I just, again, like I said, I was just reacting
no,
to
I know what you did. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you did it. It's this is what I love about the group, because it's a dynamic conversation. So you're like, hey, let's not skip over that. Let's not skip over this. That's honestly, it's always a relief to me, because it means I'm not on the hook for all the wisdom that goes out into the world from this ministry.
So one thing, Karen, that you said that brought something up in me is Christians today will say, well, you know, I need this surgery. I need this. And nothing is impossible with God. And again, taking the pride and the control onto themselves that this is exactly what needs to be done, when, you know, God might have something entirely bigger and better than anything that we can even dream up. And that's usually the case. And so I just wanted to add that little
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Tidbit.
Yep. Okay, so I'm going to put Micah 7:19 on you, Missy. Read it and then tell me what you think the truth is about God.
Okay, Micah 7:19, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So that is a very interesting verse, in that for me, myself, and being the negative Nelly that I am, we'll just name it, we like to hold on to our sins, and we like to use them for pride and control and everything else. So I love that God wants us to cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He likes that. He doesn't see our sins as far as the east is from west. And
so
I
if you
love
had
that visual.
If you had to sum up one word to describe God based on that verse, what would be the truth about God? Maybe it starts with the letter F.
Okay, I was going to say loving.
Yes.
And
I'm thinking forgiving.
What's the F word?
I'm thinking forgiving. Not different F word. Yeah. I'm thinking forgiving. I'm thinking forgiving because.
Forgiving. Yes. Let's start over. Cut that out.
No, it's okay. It's organic.
Loving and forgiving.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's the most selfless expression of love? Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
And mercy. So when I read this, it's like if our sins are cast into the depth of the sea, when we want to be comfortable with our little petty things that we, you know, like you were saying, Amy, it's like you want to jump back in the ocean and swim down and go get it.
Yeah.
You know, and say, oh, no, this belongs to me.
Yeah. We want to be that victim.
This is what I do.
We want to.
Yeah.
And mercy is embodied in giving us what we don't deserve, just giving us what we don't deserve. Or not giving us what we do deserve.
Thank goodness. And
so, thank God, yeah. Amen. Okay, Karen, what do you think about Deuteronomy 7:9?
So it says, understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. So reflecting on that, so just a few paragraphs before this, we're looking at, or I'm looking at here, Deuteronomy 4:32, and it's about, you know, how would we ever question, you know, who God is, that he would actually choose a people for himself, that he would show himself, that he would do all these things that we've been talking about today. And then we arrive here, understand that the Lord your God is indeed God. And he is the faithful God. So I just think right here, again, it's like he's constantly trying to remind us, I am faithful. I am who I say I am. Mm-hmm. My faithfulness extends out 1,000 generations. Like, do you guys get it? Mm-hmm. You know?
Well,
like,
because he knows us so deeply and we forget. I just, like, we forget his promises. So if we understand who he is fully, then we would never have any lack of peace about whether he's going to keep his promises. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But that's not our experience.
Yeah.
We forget who he is. That's the foundation of all the stumbling that we do. We forget or deny who God is. We exchange the truth about God for a lie. The lie being, he's not going to keep his promise to me. He's not going to keep his promise to my child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not going to work out for his or her good.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember a study we did a couple years ago where we actually stood up and said, God is who he says he is. Mm-hmm. God can do what he says he can do.
I am
who God says I am. And God can do all things. Is that the last one?
I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to live into that. Mm-hmm. The enemy and the world is a strong convincer of the opposite. But if we identify God and we really understand who he is, then we would have to believe he will keep his promises.
Well, the reality is, as you know, Paul says, we've been made citizens of heaven, but we happen to live here, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, yeah, it's a super distracting, tough place to live. And so it is hard to remember who God is when, you know, it's like, it's just tough. The world's a tough place. Mm-hmm. Life is not,
it is.
You know, it's not a... Life is full of the challenges.
Well,
you know?
And because you're saying that and striking a chord with me, I'll mention one of the reasons that I love, I mean, I shouldn't say I love this ministry. It might sound weird, but one of the reasons I love being involved in this ministry is that the foundation of this ministry is fellowship with other believers. So this program is on Christian stations where the majority of programming is pastors, which is great. Smarter dudes than me. But it's one dimensional. They teach, you listen. And the way that we go through life doesn't really exist in a vacuum like that. The way that we go through life is relationally. Mm-hmm. And if you are pulled down by the lies, in many, many cases, the way that God uses to lift you back up is the people around you. And so I say this every week in the outro. I say, if you don't attend a Bible study like this, find one. I'm glad we can be this with each other. And really, one of the foundational purposes of doing this ministry is teaching and exhorting in the word, of course, but it's also showing what it could look like for the listener if she or he is engaged in a group like this. And I say, find your tribe. You know, when I had a hard week, I had people. I wasn't alone. I'm never alone because God is with me, but how God shows me his love so often is the people around me. Karen, you have given me wisdom. Amy, you have given me wisdom. And I'm so thankful. I come home and I'm like, God, who am I that you would give me these people who you use as your wisdom and your mouthpiece so that I'm not lost? You don't let me be lost because you've surrounded me with a host of believers and witnesses. I have to participate in that. I can't isolate. It's easy to isolate when you're upset, depressed, sick, cancer. One of the biggest symptoms of cancer is isolating. And people who have a grave illness can often isolate. It's the opposite of what God calls us to do. All throughout his word, he talks about iron sharpens iron, fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. In Hebrews, he talks about do not give up meeting with each other because he knows. He is the invisible God, and his truth is true, but we can't see him or touch him or let him put his physical arms around us as we weep, but he gives people for that, and don't miss out on that. It's the one, it's my favorite thing about this ministry, because we're doing it, and we're also showing the gift of what it is to have that in your life. I mean, you know, we just cried together for a minute and then we laughed together. Like every time we sit down at this table, we cry a little bit and we laugh a little bit. It's an unfailing truth about this ministry. And that's how it is when you have girlfriends. Like, you two didn't really even know each other very well before you sat down at this table. But there's a common ground You don't have to know someone very well. Once you know they're a true believer in the resurrected Jesus Christ, they're your friend. And you can be open and transparent. And there's a sort of a shorthand that you have with each other, that you know the truth and you can support each other in the truth. And so I just need to say that because it's one of the big thrusts of what we're trying to accomplish every week on week on week on week. Not just teaching and talking through the truth, but also showing that fellowship is how we grow. Relationship is how we grow. You know, the Trinity is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. God exists in relationship and he shows us to exist in relationship, and you can't miss that. Okay, so it was a little bit of a tangent, but worth saying. Is it Karen's turn to read from the Message? I love the Message. If you don't know the translation, oh, is it my turn? Okay, I love the Message. So the Message is a plain English translation. It's a very interesting translation. So if you've never read it, I encourage you to do that. But it's, this one is Romans 11:33, and it says, "Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God, this deep, deep wisdom? It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out." Romans 11:33. If I had to use one word to describe God from this, it would be extravagant. I love that word. That's why I chose this translation. Extravagant. If someone you love gives you an extravagant gift, it's like totally over the top. And you are like, often your response will be, "Oh my gosh, you shouldn't have." Right? That's how it is with God. You think, this is radical. This is extravagant. This is so deep and wide. I can't even fathom it. I just scratched the surface of it. And so unfathomable would be another word I would use to describe the truth about God from that passage. Okay, Amy, how about the Psalm 73:25-26?
"Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever."
Okay, what's the truth in there?
So God is my strength.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
No more words necessary. Hi, it's Holly again. What an incredible gift we have to study together with you today. I'm so thankful for the ways that God's word helps me know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Please make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending his disciples out to preach the word, and he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study With Friends also. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there and listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free for you to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or a prayer book or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.